The text for our consideration this morning is 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 21 through 24. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow in his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, did not revile in return, when he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. WWJD. I'm guessing that many, if not all of you, know what that stands for. What would Jesus do? I was a bit surprised when I saw a shirt with this on it the other day, because I hadn't seen the WWJD shirts or bracelets in a while. My recollection, confirmed through Wikipedia, was that the WWJD bracelet became popular in the 1990s. What I did not know, though, is that also, according to Wikipedia, this phrase itself first became popular in the early 1900s. Following Charles Sheldon's popular 1896 novel, In His Steps, which was subtitled, What Would Jesus Do? While Sheldon's theology was connected with the social gospel movement, which focuses more on trying to fix all of society's problems rather than on the spiritual kingdom of God, we can, as Professor Pfeiffer reminded us last week in his chapel, fruitfully think about Jesus' attitude and actions in comparison with our own. We can also, however, gain comfort from another acronym, WHJD. What has Jesus done? Through Jesus' sacrifice, his suffering, death, and resurrection, through what he has done for us, we have the full assurance of forgiveness of sins and the promise of salvation bought by his blood. When we ask ourselves, what would Jesus do, we definitely cannot find a better place to turn to for a role model, a true pattern of perfection. Christ was and will be the only person to obey God's law perfectly. We read in Hebrew that Christ, as our high priest, can sympathize with our weaknesses because he is indeed truly human. For he was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Earlier in the letter from which our text is from, Peter also describes Christ's perfection. He was a lamb without blemish and without spot. Later in the letter, then, we have our description as Christ as an example. You should follow in his steps. We should copy Christ just as closely as a student copying letters of the alphabet that a teacher has written down for them. Christ's example is one who suffered injustice patiently, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. What do we do when we are unjustly accused, mocked, or wrongly punished? What did Jesus do? He bore that suffering, pain, and injustice without complaint in order that he could sacrifice himself for us. We can see Jesus as a perfect example throughout his life. For example, in the sermon at Messiah on Sunday, Pastor Tiefel discussed Christ's impartiality. As true man who kept God's commandments perfectly, he treated all people equally. Do we treat everyone the same? Are students more kind, concerned, and loving to their friends, or even to those with more similar interests? Do faculty and staff treat every student perfectly equal all the time? One acronym created in response to WWJD is HWLF. He would love first. This can be understood correctly if we see it capturing Jesus' love for all humans, for all of us sinners. Do we love our fellow human beings as much as we love ourselves? Do we put our love for God over our own selfish interest? The slogan, "He would love first," can also be misapplied to suggest that Jesus' unconditional love means that he tolerates everything, including sin. We see from the Bible, though, that Jesus always applies law and gospel perfectly. Do we do the same thing? Do we use God's law to examine our sins and, when needed, humbly help others to see how their sins are leading them away from God? Or do we just take the easy way out and ignore those sins? Do we fail to share the good news of God's salvation for fear of ridicule? We can clearly see how studying the life of Jesus and asking what would Jesus do provides us the answer of what we should be doing, but if you're anything like me, you can clearly see throughout the day how reactions fall very short of that perfect example that Jesus set for us. I already mentioned one companion acronym to WWJD, HWLF, He Would Love First. Another one apparently is FROG, Fully Rely on God. The one that I prefer, though, I think is WHJD. Perhaps it's not as catchy as the other ones. But when we look at our sinful lives and when we despair over how much our actions depart from what Jesus would do, we need to look for help not in our own actions, but in what our Savior has done for us. Notice in our text how the Holy Spirit, through Peter, explains that in his perfect example, Christ committed himself to him who judges righteously. He put his whole trust in God. Furthermore, in our text, Peter also emphasized that Christ bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you are healed. Christ's suffering and death has healed us. His blood has cleansed us from all our sins. What has Jesus done for us? Luther put it beautifully in his explanation to the second article. He has redeemed me, a lost and condemned creature, purchased and won me from all sins, from death and the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy precious blood and his innocent sufferings and death. Christ has saved us from our sins, and the Holy Spirit, through faith, creates the new man in us who loves to serve God, to live for righteousness. We also read in Galatians, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." We still have our sinful flesh and fail to meet the standards of God's holy law, but Christ lives in us and gives us the power to overcome our sinful flesh. Because we have been set free from sin, that new man in us wants to and joys in doing what Jesus would do. The pattern that the Holy Spirit reveals in our text is one that can be seen elsewhere in Peter's letter. He provides a section that urges a life of sanctification, of Christian living, but then ends that section with the gospel message of Christ's redemption. Our text as well provides Christ as an example to live by, but also assures us of our forgiveness, and that it is through Christ's death that we live for righteousness. Because we are sinners, Christ took on our sins so that we are justified before God, and because of that, we serve God with joy. As we go throughout our day, then, we can think about what Jesus would do. But as we fail again and again to meet that standard, we can also be comforted by what Jesus has done for us. We'll close with hymn 377, verses 1 and 6.